Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, Joe Malloy with you this evening. So GAA back in our lives this weekend, opening weekend of the Allianz Hurling League. Jamesy O'Connor this hour on what to expect over the coming weeks and on into the championship, which is right around the corner. Much unhappiness with the rule changes as well. Hurling people are very clear about this. Don't be meddling. The game is grand. Well, they've meddled and hurling people aren't happy. Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor have their say on line selections, the weekend's Interpros, and just a 1 year Tadhg Furlong contract. Kind of interesting news today. Chelsea and Tuchel now with two wins against Man City ahead of their Champions League final. Pat Nevin with us after nine. Brian Kerr as well on Manchester United Aston Villa. He was working at that game for us yesterday. And Maria Kinsella will join us as well. Maria, co-chair of the GPA's National Executive Committee. Equal funding for inter-county female players announced today. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. You're all very welcome. Richard McCormack, as are you. Hello.
How are you, Joe?
Very well. Nathan Murphy, evening.
Evening, lads.
Conspicuous by an absence there. We won't have time this evening to touch on Rory McIlroy's victory last night, his first in some 19 months at Quail Hollow, his third win at Quail Hollow. Cited the work of his new coach Pete Cowan as awesome. Still said Michael Bannon is very much part of the team. He's awesome too. Harry Diamond also awesome. And working with Bob Rotella as well. I hadn't realised this. He said this afterwards. Sports psychologist Bob Rotella got a mention. So the McIlroy team, Nathan, are suddenly very happy.
Well, look at the team he's put behind him. You're one of the most talented, if not the most talented golfer in the world. Things aren't going well. What do you do? Do you put your head down and just try and scrap through it yourself? Or do you get the very best that there is out there? And it's brilliantly refreshing to see that McIlroy has said, you know, I don't have all the answers here. Because the noise around McIlroy is unlike any other golfer. There's constantly questions about Michael Bannon, about Harry Diamond. Get rid, get rid, get rid. He's kept faith with them and he's just added any amount of expertise. And he has come out of this. Is it a crisis? Is it a slump? I'm not sure it can be any of those things when he had three tournaments without a top 10 and we're writing him off for years to come. But yeah, there were still a lot of that was based on Rory. And, you know, people are critical of those who write off Rory. A lot of it comes from what he says about himself. He at times does talk himself down. He's very honest and open, maybe a little bit too giving. And we all spend many hours on Golf Weekly reading into what he said. But there's something about Rory in contention. He frustrates the life out of me at times. I'm more critical of him than probably any other sports person. But when he's there competing, and last night was strange because we're so comfortable for so long. But then when it almost was snatched away in 18, he hit that horrible hook almost into the water and nearly blew it. You're just praying that he'll take the right decision, which he did, and just get over the line. And listen, golf with Rory McIlroy back competing and contending is a far more exciting place.
Yeah, it sure is. It just makes the tournament so much more watchable. It was interesting. A couple of years ago, Lee Westwood, I don't think Rory liked the comment. Lee Westwood said that McIlroy always has a hook in there when he's under pressure, and so proved in 18. And he played so well. I mean, it was his irons. It's been a long time since he was pin high with so many iron shots, which is just a good sign. I mean, we have held our head in our hands too often when he's almost airmailed greens and gone over the back of them or come up way short. And you remember his own frustration. I mean, you say we get frustrated. Remember, he snapped his club, his wedge last year because he knew that for all the work he was doing on a short game, it wasn't paying dividend. And suddenly last night it was green after green after green and often pin high. And you mentioned Harry Diamond as well, often criticised. McIlroy's caddies generally have been criticised because he doesn't want to a vociferous, I'm going to boss you around type caddy. It's not what he wants. So therefore, the caddies can sometimes look weak or indecisive. But on 18, when he was deciding what to do last night, and this is where he had to avoid double bogey to win the hole. 18's a really tough hole. He said, Harry was awesome out there today, especially that decision on the last. I was ready to get in there and try and play the ball as it lay with that lob wedge. he said, let's just take a step back. Let's think about this. Where's the best place you're hitting your third from? So he calmed me down. He slowed me down a bit. And ultimately, we made the right decision. And I took the drop instead of trying to play that shot out of the hazard. I hit a great third shot onto the green, was able to two-put from there. And that's probably a nice moment for Harry Diamond, because he has been working away under the general accusation that, well, you're just Rory's mate. So not much more than that. So he kind of stepped up a little bit there last night, which was good.
Well, he is Rory's mate, first off, which is why he got the job. But he's also a bloody good golfer in his own right. So it's not like one of us just rocking up there and giving Rory advice. He knows the game inside out. But the reason he got the job was because Rory doesn't want a Steve Williams type who's going to challenge him. What he wants is somebody he feels comfortable with, not just on the course, but around the course as well. But it did feel like a big moment for Harry Diamond, because, as we say, the noise around Rory is that there's questions about every part of his game, every part of his life. Is he working hard enough? Is he fully committed to the game? Is he, you know, is golf his number one priority? He'd say himself at times, maybe it's not. And the caddy comes under huge scrutiny. And it was probably the biggest moment of Harry Diamond's caddying career last night, because we heard every moment of that conversation. And at first it looked as though Rory got lucky when he didn't go in the water. Then the more they went and zoomed in on the lie, you thought, this may not be as clear-cut as it seemed, trying to chip out onto the fairway. At one stage, they were looking at maybe trying to hit it up towards where all the fans were situated and maybe get a free drop up there. And then Harry Diamond just quietly said, we could take a drop. And almost instantly, it just clicked in Rory's head. And as you would assume, Rory McIlroy should have got there eventually himself, but he's frazzled. He hasn't won in 18 months. He knows this is, he should have closed that tournament out comfortably. You're looking at that leaderboard and there's no real recognizable names putting huge pressure on him. No, Gary Woodland, the US Open champion, was in the mix for a while, but Rory was the class player in that field. And then to hit such a horrible tee shot in 18, this would have been, he would have been hammered today. We would be talking about Rory McIlroy, everything we'd seen for the previous 7 holes, forgotten about. What is going on that he could make such a horrible mistake? So yeah, Harry Diamond had a big moment, and all round, it's very exciting. Like, looking at some of the stats, and listen, we'll save the big ones for Golf Weekly later in the week, but he was top three in the field in driving distance, greens and regulation, scrambling, and strokes gained putting, which is every part of your game to perfection, which is the influence of Pete Cowan and also the influence of Brad Faxon. We chained Larry on Golf Weekly last week, and I think he was just off the course with playing with Rory earlier that day and with Brad Faxon. And, you know, Brad Faxon is the putting guru, and if Rory's swing is in any sort of shape, if he puts well, he's always going to be close.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed, I fully appreciated at Quail Hollow, basically he puts better there than anywhere. That is his best putting course. Now, he's got Kiowa for the USPGA in a couple of weeks, where he won by 8 shots in 2012 when he won the USPGA then. So, look, he is streaky, and Rory gets hot and he gets cold. Given the condensed nature of the golfing season now, it's a good time of the year to start getting hot. And Bob Rutel is interesting as well to be working. Bob Rutel, of course, famous for Golf's Not a Game of Perfect. A sports psychologist, worked with a lot of the best. So that's really
positive. It's interesting,
isn't
it, Rutella and Cowan? Because a feeling around Rory would be that, I'm sure he talks to Patrick Harrington a lot, and Harrington obviously would have spent time with Pete Cowan and a lot of time with Bob Rutella. And both of those would have been seen not really McIlroy type people, that they overcomplicate what for Rory for almost all of his life has been a simple game, that you're asking too much. He's getting into his own head where he just needs to be free. But obviously, again, you've got to admire him. He's thought, I need to find a way out of this mini slump, and he's gone to the best.
Well, I think the Rotella thing's really positive. I mean, I'm not in Rory's head, I don't know, but I think there was beginning to become a problem with pressure, and the Masters is such a huge thing, and I'm glad to see he's getting help in that department. And well, Bob Rutella literally wrote the book, so you can't get much better name than that, really. I presume if Rotella's had all the success he's had, he's well worth talking to, so that's really interesting. There's a text in from Bob. Harry Diamond earned his stripes by giving McIlroy the option for that second shot in 18, kept his cool, subtly managed his man, stopped him from playing the crazy shot out of the rough. Yeah, that's pretty much what we were saying. So we're not going to do a piece on McIlroy this evening, but just wanted to mention that at the top of the show. We'll do Golf Weekly on Wednesday. Rich, we should start the news round on Off the Ball and News Talk with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made it what matters. And I suppose your first story, part of a general theme of good news, hopefully, on the COVID front.
By the way, you just gave away 8 minutes for free when you have a Patreon. That, like, whoever is your business manager needs sacking.
You see, you might think that that's 8 minutes of goodness that we'll never get back, but our podcast will be about 2 hours long on Thursday, so yeah. It'll all be fine, Richie.
In proportional terms, Richie, that was nothing.
But even still,
oh no, like, I know.
You got to give them just a little taste and go and make them on more.
That's the top line stuff, just for the people who tune in on the Sunday night.
We'll go deep on this, Richie. Don't worry. But this is look, we love our FM listeners as well, do we not?
Yeah.
Not as much as the ones who give us $3.99 a month.
So let's get going on this then, because I think we're against time all evening. Busy weekend of sport. Jamesy O'Connor is going to join us this hour, then the lads on rugby after 8 o'clock. As I was saying, good news hopefully on the COVID team. Catherine Martin was on News Talk today.
She was, and she's fueled hopes that this year's All-Ireland Championships and, of course, other sporting events could play out with some fans present this summer. The Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media said this evening she wants to bring forward trials of both indoor and outdoor events, not just of a sporting nature, of course. Earlier this month, indeed, on the show, Taoiseach Micheál Martin said he would like to see stadiums welcoming back fans in July. But Minister Martin said this evening that she's keen for test events to start as early as June. And on the Hard Shoulder News Talk, she was asked why Leinster's request to host their own test events were turned down.
Because we weren't in a position to do it at that time. And we have the return to sport report that Minister Chambers has been working on as well, and that was done by the FAI, the IRFU and the GAA. So that's the report that is with the Department of Health, and we're just fine-tuning that now, taking into account the vaccinations.
Okay, so hopefully that can happen in June. Tadhg Furlong then, Rich.
Yeah, new one-year contract with Leinster and the IRFU, funded entirely by the latter. The 28-year-old was due to be out of contract at the end of this season. Furlong was last week named on the Lions squad to tour South Africa, having started all three tests in 2017. And the Wexford native is glad of his newfound contract certainty.
No, we'll go at it again now next year again. And look, it's really exciting, both groups. We believe they're there to compete at the business end of the season, and we had a tough year in patches this year, but I suppose everyone has a bit of faith that, we can, really compete, and it's exciting to be part of.
Kind of an interesting one this, Nathan. 1 year deal for 28-year-old Tadhg Furlong. You would have thought, well, at a minimum, a contract to bring him up to and including the World Cup would be the obvious, if not a 3-year deal, given his importance. This, we'll talk about it later on with Rory O'Connor and Keith Wood. This feels maybe like a touch of a placeholder contract. Look, we can't quite give you what you want this year, maybe, and stick with it for a year and we'll sit down and revisit this next year. Is that your reading things, or what do you make of it?
God, I'd love to know the inner workings of this. There's obviously a reason it was the last contract to do, and there's a risk for Tadhg Furlong because he plays in the position and has seen that injuries can happen quite quickly. But the reward potentially for Tadhg Furlong, if he gets through the next year, if he has a sensational Lions tour and he's the best tight head in the world, a year out from a World Cup where you're going to be Ireland's main man and you're out of contract, you have got the IRFU in a very good position, either to stay in Ireland or in a position where, if you wanted, I guess you could do the Johnny Sexton and say, well, I'm going to take the payday in France. You can't afford me, but you also can't afford to drop me.
What do you make of it? Yeah, but no, I think there's something unusual about this, just a 1 year deal. And even I thought the press release was kind of a bit sober and joyless, considering you've just
locked.
Yeah, it was just a little bit. Yeah, look, this has happened and this is funded by the IRFU and it's a 1 year thing and we're happy and Tadhg's happy and end of press release. Whereas this should have been like big news. This is we're delighted. This is great. We've secured him for years into the future. I don't know, Rich, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was like the quotes from both David Nusafora and Tadhg Furlong in the press release were pretty perfunctory and just, standard. This is what has happened and we'll go and play in the new year. But there's something in what Nathan's mentioning there about the potential to go to France while invoking the, I guess we'll call it the Johnny Sexton rule, whereby you're deemed as being too important to be dropped, essentially, just because you're playing abroad. But if it is the case that the IRFU and other associations, let's just bear that in mind too, as regards to other countries, are not able to pay the money that other associations or other clubs in other territories will be able to play, then hovering this idea, this sort of Damocles over them that they can't play international rugby if they move abroad, it suddenly becomes something of unfair in terms of employment law, because you're like, if Tadhg Furlong wanted to move abroad tomorrow, he could probably pick up a better deal in France. And I think that's going to be the case given what COVID has done to the rugby world for the next 3, 4, 5 years, maybe. to be saying that you're going to drop players specifically because they want to seek out the best deal for themselves and their families now seems a little bit off if we're going to be progressing forward, whereby the IRFU are, you know, operating with caution. Sexton's deal is the same. Sexton's deal is a one-year deal for the same reason. I'd imagine at a more local level, Leo Cullen at Leinster's one-year deal is a pretty similar situation, whereby they can't exactly offer him the 4 or 5 year deal that maybe he might want or they might want.
Sorry, I think Leo Cullen asked for it to be 1 year, which was kind of interesting. Yeah. Stuart Lancaster took a longer one. And with Sexton, I guess it's age. I mean, they'd be foolish. Anyone would be foolish to offer Sexton a longer deal. I think if Tadhg Furlong was willing to sign up for 3-4 years, the IRFU would jump at it. I suspect he gets, or has, I have no inside info, but I would guess he's had very good offers, and I would think the IRFU, because of COVID, can't quite meet a level he might like. And so maybe there's a degree of, look, stick with us for this year, things will return to normal next year, and then we'll sort out a nice 3-year deal then. And I wouldn't think he wants to go. I think he loves Leinster and loves playing for Ireland, so I think maybe they both said, okay, let's just rubber stamp the next year and then we'll really have to sit down. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I'd go along with Nathan on that one. I'd say, given how late this has been agreed, it's probably a case whereby the terms involved were ones that they couldn't guarantee 2-3 years in the future. So they've just said, listen, we'll give you this for now. We'll see how we are in 12 months' time and we'll sit you down and give you a 2-3 year deal then. Or, you know, his injury profile could have played a part in this as well, because he has missed a hell of a chunk of time over the course of the last 2 years. So, like, there are many, many factors that we're not privy to that led to this contract.
Also, the right thing for the IRFU to do, you would have to say, in that I don't know what the top salary is at the moment, maybe 350, 400 grand. You could get double that in France. Considering the IRFU are in a position where, you know, staff are working shortened weeks, we know they've taken a massive financial hit because of COVID. Are they going to have to actually rethink that policy? Because does it make financial sense for the union to be paying Tadhg Furlong €400,000 when they could actually let him go, spread that money around, and still have him playing for Ireland if they just change their rule?
Yeah, I think the highest earners now are creeping up on 6 at this stage as well.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus. Should have played rugby, Nathan. You should have played rugby. Yeah. So, well, look, I think Tadhg Furlong is going to be on the show on Wednesday, so we're wasting a lot of time here. We'll just ask him then.
Can we get his paycheck?
Yeah. I look forward to him saying none of,
after tax.
I look forward to him saying none of your damn business, which is absolutely his right as well. Now, some long overdue news for female intercounty players: equal funding, in short, to their male counterparts.
Yeah, the Gaelic Players Association has welcomed that announcement of an increase in funding for female intercounty players. Under the current model, €1,200 is received by male players, while female players get just €400. Minister of State for Sport Jack Chambers today announced funding of €1,200 for both male and female players. That represents a €1.7 million increase from the previous figure of €700,000.
Yeah, we'll talk to Maria Kinsella later on. This was such a no-brainer. I mean, this has nothing to do, before we get the old usual text messages in, about gate receipts or TV money or the revenue generated by the various different sports, male or female. This was just government money. This was just Department of Sport saying to the men, you're going to get this much, and to the women, you're only going to get this much. So that's why they had to rectify that, and double quick as well. So Maria Kinsella will join us later on. There is football on the scene, Rich.
Yeah, and some consequence as well. Fulham's return to the Championship could be confirmed tonight. Defeat to Burnley at Craven Cottage will see Scott Parker's side condemned to relegation after just a single season back in the top flight. A Burnley win also would secure their Premier League status, and kickoff is at 8. Scant Irish involvement in this one tonight. Jimmy Dunn on the bench for Burnley.
Now, a different kind of one-year contract, one that Manchester United fans are happy with.
Yeah, Manchester United striker Edinson Cavani signing a new one-year deal with the club. His new deal keeps him at Old Trafford until June of 2022. Cavani's emerged as a key player for United this season. He scored 15 goals in 35 games. Three of those have come in his last 4 matches.
Occasionally a signing like this happens, Nathan. I mean, United fans will remember Henrik Larsson very favourably, I think, as well. Came in, made a huge impact. Cavani has absolutely surpassed expectations. There was such a sense of, ugh, when he was signed, and this is washed up player, what's he going to do? But you just see his craft, I think is the best word, when he plays, and the movement, even for the goal yesterday, just so alive. And, you know, the run dictated where the cross went. I know you were doing the game with Brian Kerr. He is just a touch of class, Cavani.
He is. I had a late night row with somebody about Cavani recently, where I think he's brilliant and I think his movement is exceptional.
Once again, I just think we need to say to your wife that she has our sympathies, and you know.
She reeled out all the stats about Cavani.
Okay.
I think he's brilliant. I can absolutely understand why Manchester United fans love him. But he's a cult hero. Manchester United do not need a cult hero number nine. They need a number nine who can score 25 goals a season. Now, maybe they'll go and get that during the summer. Maybe they go and they buy Harry Kane or Erling Haaland or Kylian Mbappe. But I don't think Edinson Cavani is a striker who's going to bring them closer to the Premier League title. But if the deal is right and he wants to stay and the money is right, it's an absolute no-brainer to keep him. In what he can pass on as well, you would hope that all those players around him are, as you say, learning from that movement. It's how much do you get out of him next season? It doesn't look as though he's a player you can start in the biggest games against the other sides in the top six. It doesn't look as though he's going to have enough of an impact in them. But listen, for 20-25 minutes, half an hour at the end when things are tight, why not?
No, that's fair. I agree with that. He's not bridging the gap to winning the league.
No, no. And that's where the focus will come on the Glazers during the summer. The players who can do that are going to cost them a lot of money. I thought the most exciting thing about Manchester United coming into the season was the potential of Rashford, Greenwood and Martial. And, you know, could they score 60 Premier League goals between them? That hasn't happened. They've all had moments. Greenwood's obviously in one at the moment. But you look at Martial still and think it's probably never really going to happen for him at the Premier League at this stage to be that guy. So, like, that is a huge area they need to sign in. And we know there's other issues as well. But listen, Cavani is somebody, every time you see him, he plays with a good attitude. He's, you know, just the quality of that run yesterday, and the quality of the ball from Rashford as well. It was it was brilliant. It probably, again, Rashford, Cavani's done it a lot this season. He's covered up probably some issues for Manchester United from a 2-1 where they were under a bit of pressure, having gone behind as well in the game, to suddenly winning 3-1 and everyone's delighted with life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there is that sense with Martial. It's just starting to feel like it's not going to happen. And I think they were reluctant to let him go for a long time because there was the worry he would come back and haunt them 2 years later after blossoming. But it's really hard to see it at the moment. So a few last stories, Rich. The league started, I mentioned, in the hurling. Bad injury for Tip.
Yeah, Tipperary hurler Brian O'Mara is to miss the remainder of the county's Allianz Hurling League campaign. The Holy Cross Ballycal clubman suffered a fractured arm in Saturday's drawn game with Limerick. Tip have confirmed that O'Mara will be out for between 4 and 6 weeks. Antrim caused the big shock of the weekend. The late points from Kieran Clark and Neil McManus saw the Saffrons edge out Clare in Division 1 Group B on a scoreline of 121 to 22 points. Elsewhere, All-Ireland finalists Waterford were no match for Cork in Group A. Alan Connolly scored 2 goals for the Rebels as they won out 522 to 127. Elsewhere yesterday, Wexford hammered Laois 417 to 10 points at Chadwick's Wexford Park.
Jamesy O'Connor with us very shortly this hour. Meanwhile, it ain't Fiji, but Ireland have games.
Yeah, it's a slightly less glamorous summer for Ireland's rugby players. Japan are going to visit the Aviva on July 3rd and the USA are going to be at the Lansdowne Road venue a week later. The games replace Ireland's planned tour of Fiji, which of course was scrapped on account of the pandemic.
And before you go, free-to-air Six Nations for the next 3 years looks pretty much nailed on now.
Yeah, tournament organisers say they've agreed the principles of a joint bid between Virgin Media and RTE for the broadcast rights of the men's, women's and under 20 tournaments. It had been feared the broadcasting would be put behind a paywall following heavy investment from private equity firm CBC Capital Partners. However, an unprecedented joint bid by Virgin and RTE has been confirmed by Six Nations management in what would be, they say, a multi-year deal.
Yeah, so it's the free-to-air gang ganging up on the paywall gang. The UK rights were meant to be announced in advance of this, but it seems there's real tussles between BBC and ITV versus Sky Sports, interestingly. So that's not going to be as clear cut. I brought this up with Micheál Martin last week, Nathan. Somebody asked me, by the way, why I didn't declare an interest. I felt the fact that it was on national television meant I wasn't trying to hide it, but maybe I should have. I don't know.
Well, I'm wondering about yourself and Tyke Furlong's contract conversation. It'll be interesting on both sides, Joe.
Yeah. He has them over a barrel. I don't. But this now gives, the point I was going to make was I laid it all out and talked about rugby in Australia and how it had been hurt and, you know, so important, etc. And Micheál Martin on Taoiseach just said, I agree with you. As if, you know, government here are a bit powerless to sort this situation. This now gives them 3 years, I would think, to put Ireland, England in the Six Nations on a similarly protected level to everything from Cheltenham to every Republic of Ireland soccer match to the big GAA days, to Ireland in the Rugby World Cup, you know, all these other things which you would think are very comparable with Six Nations games. They now have 3 years to maybe think about that and do it once and for all.
I would say the IRFU are going to fight tooth and nail against that, because as much as Micheál Martin, like everybody else, wants to see it in free to air, he also knows that if it comes to bailing out the IRFU from the government or getting the TV companies to do it, it's far more favourable for most people that the TV companies scrap it out themselves.
Yeah. Dope. the last two decades, as successful as it gets, and it's all been an either RT or Virgin, they've kept each other honest.
Can you give us a bit of insight, Joel? Who's getting what games?
I have no insight, actually. No, Zilch. So we'll see. But at least it's free to air for the next 3 years anyway. So, fellas, thank you. Richie, cheers.
Cheers, lads.
Nathan Murphy, thanks very much.
Thanks, Joe.
We've got James O'Connor next. We'll have Rugby with Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor after 8 o'clock. We'll be talking with Maria Kinsella as well about the funding announcement before 9. Football show. We'll turn to Pat Nevin and Brian Kerr. Lots going on this weekend. Not least, Big Sam finally heads downwards.
All this tippy-tappy stuff, everybody keeps going about the right way to play football. It's all a load of bollocks sometimes. So getting the ball in the opposition's box as quickly as you can with quality and getting it forward and in behind the opposition is definitely sometimes the best way forward.
West Ham United has played 71% of the long balls to the forwards and we 49. And then you go to Big Sam and maybe he can give a good interpretation.
And I'll tell you what, he can't take it, can he? He can't take it, he just can't take it because we've out-tacticked him, we've out-witted him. You know what I mean? He just can't cope, can he? Like, you know, so
he can tell me all he wants, I don't give a shite to him.
I would be surprised if you'd have thought somebody an awful lot with the back four defensively. I would be surprised. I don't know.
He could go and watch Roy Hodgson work, or yeah. He could bring Sam Allardyce in on a temporary base. I mean, any of these guys have shaped teams defensively, haven't they?
Sam Allardyce is a genius to take these teams when everybody believes it's over and get results.
So I don't understand the logic. It just isn't logic whatsoever. So you cannot work at a smaller club and expect to get a bigger job by winning a trophy. It's a nonsense. An absolute nonsense. The best way to get a Premier League job is change your name, if you're British, to a foreign name. And I was always told if I was Aladicio, I could have managed Man United.
So if it was Sam Aladicio,
you'd
definitely be in the Old Trafford.
Like this, you know, I go to Ray and I not do too bad, you know, so I'd be okay if I went to the top.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.